Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, you can hear the show as a podcast. John and Ken on demand, same show on the iHeart app. Welcome.
Yeah, well, obviously one of the big stories is one that occurred here in Southern California. There was a rally on Sunday in Thousand Oaks. Pro-Israel group was protesting this Free Palestine rally. There was some sort of altercation between a 69-year-old Jewish man by the name of Paul Kessler and a 50-year-old unidentified man, and Kessler went down. And he died yesterday morning from his injuries. He clearly hit his head. We are learning more on the story from a news conference held today in Ventura County about the whole story. So let's bring on KFI News' Chris Adler for the latest details.
Chris, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So we had a press conference earlier around 10 o'clock at the Ventura County Sheriff's Department. That's where the sheriff said that the suspect had been identified. And in fact, the suspect had stayed, remained at the scene, cooperated with the investigators, and told police that he had, was one of the callers who actually called in the emergency. He called 911 when Kessler went down. He admitted that he had been in a confrontation with Kessler. The medical examiner says that Kessler died from blunt force trauma from an injury that he had on the back of his head. So when he went down and he hit the ground, that injury is what caused his death. He did have other injuries on the left side of his face, but those were not fatal injuries. The sheriff said that those were not lethal. Sorry, we've got an ambulance going by right now, guys.
That's okay.
We can hear you fine, believe it or not.
All,
I know.
All hell
it's
is
distracting
break.
You, then you can take a moment, but we can hear you fine.
Where's those pauses when I'm on with you guys other times? Anyway, so we're here now at Westlake and Thousand Oaks Boulevard on the corner where Kessler died. There is another press conference that we're waiting to start here at 1 o'clock. I think we're just getting past 1 o'clock, but they're about to start. Now, this is leaders in the Jewish community. This is rabbis, and this is a witness here today that's going to speak about what actually happened. One woman said earlier that she witnessed the attack, that the 50-year-old suspect had hit Kessler over the head with a megaphone, and then Kessler went down. They were both on level ground, but Kessler went down and hit his head. So she's saying that there was, in fact, a megaphone involved. And I just want to note, guys, that I asked the sheriff today if a megaphone had been located during a search warrant when they served a search warrant at the suspect's home in Moor Park, and he said he could not comment on that, you guys.
So was he gesturing in anger with the megaphone, and he happened to hit this guy in the face or in the head? Or was this an intentional attack that he got so angry he just lifted the thing up and clobbered him?
Well, that's the question. And there are conflicting reports, and that's the issue. That was the basis of the conference today. The sheriff says that there's conflicting reports coming from both sides. But one woman who says she was there says the guy came over. The Palestinian protesters crossed the street intentionally, instigated, started the argument with the pro-Israeli protesters and hit Kessler over the head with the megaphone. So she says it was intentional. We do not know the specifics. We're trying to learn. We're trying to figure that out. The sheriff's department says that that's where the investigation lies, is there's conflicting reports, but it is still being investigated as a homicide.
No sign of any video of the moment?
No, they don't. If there is video, the sheriff would not comment, or he just said that the investigation is ongoing. He's not going to compromise the investigation by releasing certain details. But, I asked him again, was there a megaphone involved? He said he could not comment. He could not comment on the outcome of the search warrant. So there are details that he was not able to divulge. So we don't know if there's video of this happening. If there is, he has not released it and hasn't said anything about it.
So the 50-year-old is not under arrest. He's free, and they're still going to investigate this and decide something.
Yeah, he was detained. He was detained. He was questioned, and then he was released. He has not been arrested. So we want to make sure that that is clear. He is not arrested, but the sheriff did say that he is a suspect in the case. It is being investigated. And so that's where the investigation stands right now, you guys. There is footage. There's video footage of Kessler lying on the ground. I posted it to my Instagram where he's lying on the ground. Unfortunately, when he lifts his head up, you can see a small pool of blood under his head. Now, it appears that that's the injury the medical examiner says was the fatal injury. And here, a Jewish woman has actually colored a Star of David around the blood spot. It's still here, and she's covered it around with candles, kind of a way of keeping it sacred, she says. And she's calling for love and peace at this time.
And who's arranging this press conference that's supposed to happen very soon? The one that witness is going to speak at?
These are local leaders in the Jewish community at local temples, and a friend who was at the protest, a friend and a witness to what happened.
So the police aren't involved in this press conference at all?
No, there are no police here right now.
And this was, for the most part, a pro-Palestinian rally that I guess the Jewish people showed up on the other side of the street. Is that what you're saying?
That's not quite right. And that's still a little fuzzy. But what the sheriff said is that this was a dual protest where Palestinians were on one side and pro-Palestinians were on one side and pro-Israelis were on another side. From witness accounts, witnesses are saying that the Palestinian protesters walked over, but we can't confirm that, and that has not been confirmed by the sheriff's department either. But they're saying that the pro-Israeli protesters walked over the Palestinian protesters walked over and kind of instigated, but this was a dual protest, going on simultaneously. And this was Sunday, just after 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm just saying that couldn't be a coincidence. They picked the same block on opposite sides. Somebody probably called for a protest first, and then somebody saw the posting and said, let's go there and, be on the other side of the street. That's my guess. I don't think it happened.
Yeah, what's interesting, you guys, I mean, initially when we first learned of this, we had seen a photo surface of somebody in a hood and a mask, and it looked like he was younger. But the person, the suspect, is actually in his 50s. So these are older people getting into a confrontation out here. And I spoke with a gentleman from the Muslim community. He's a leader at one of the mosques in Thousand Oaks. And he said, he showed up at the press conference and he said, the Muslims don't approve of this. He doesn't want to be, kind of colored with the same pencil or crayon as other, terrorist groups. And he says that he wants peace. And he was devastated to hear about what happened to Kessler. So he showed up in solidarity at the conference because he wanted people to know that Muslims don't stand for this kind of violence. And you should be able to wave a Palestinian flag or an Israeli flag next to each other without it resulting in physical violence.
Okay, Chris, thank you for that report. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys.
It's
Chris Adler.
7,573 miles between Thousand Oaks and Gaza City. Oh. I just do not understand why people go out and scream in the streets over something that's 7,500 miles away and that they will have zero impact on. It's just,
well, good luck with that, because it's happening all over the U.S. right now.
I know, but it's just
there's rallies on both sides everywhere from every article.
It's stupid human behavior. It's stupid behavior. We're stupid beasts. We do dumb things, and we do it for our own egos because we want to feel like we've got a say in the world, right? We can control events.
They think they can influence U.S. actions.
And that's insane. That's nuts. There's nothing anybody is going to do by yelling in the street that is going to stop Israel from doing what it has to do to eradicate Hamas. Yeah. So I don't understand running around 7,500 miles away in California with a bullhorn yelling nonsense. Is just we're just an idiotic species. We really are.
We'll talk a little bit more about the man who died and what we know of him from his activities in terms of getting involved in the Israeli-Palestinian issue. That and more coming up. Oh, your chance to win money is next. KFI AM 640 live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Well, we know the name of the man who died after attending a protest on both sides in Thousand Oaks. His name is Paul Kessler. He was part of the pro-Israeli group protesting at a Free Palestine rally. And apparently he fell backwards and hit his head, probably on the sidewalk concrete pavement. Now, the real question is, and of course, the blaring headline everywhere over the weekend or yesterday as this story was being announced was hate crime, hate crime, hate crime. Well, you know, if it's a homicide, it's a murder. I would really like to know exactly the circumstances of it. So as we just talked to Chris Adler from KFI News, there are some conflicting reports that the sheriff's investigators are getting up there in Ventura County about what happened between Kessler, who I think is 69, and a 59-year-old opposing protester, obviously a pro-Palestinian protester, who came from the other side of the street to get in the face, I guess, of Kessler.
Of course it's conflicting, because you're not going to get necessarily the truth from people in opposing tribes here.
Yes, they're probably going to see it their way. Right.
Well, right. They're going to see it the way that they want to spin it to the public. Like, a lot of people just flat out lie. They want to protect their own guy. They know they're lying. It's not that they misinterpret what happened. It was probably pretty clear if you were standing there. It's that they don't want to admit to it. They don't want to damage their cause.
Right.
So if, for example, you're a rabid Palestinian supporter, and you must be if you're out on the street in the middle of the day on a Sunday, then if your guy takes a megaphone and kills a Jewish protester, well, you're gonna try to soften that story and make it sound like it was not intentional.
Right. Well, I mean, the Times, and I don't always believe the Times, they described it as the Palestinian rally. I don't know how many Israel supporters showed up, but I have a feeling they went there to counter.
Oh,
but
yeah,
this guy came across the street to confront Kessler, which he should not have done. He did stay at the scene. He apparently called 911 after Kessler went down.
Right.
So you mix all these things together, and it's still an uncertain situation. But, I mean, the story that blared too yesterday was, you know, hit with a megaphone. And he may have been hit with a megaphone, but probably they were saying what killed him was the injury to his head when he hit the pavement.
I think he got hit in the face with the megaphone.
Yeah, and then, said it was injuries to his face.
Then he dropped and banged his head on the cement, and that happens all the time where people hit their head on concrete, and that's it. They're dead. But most organizations post their rallies online because they want to
attract people
and
attract the media, right?
Right. And so obviously the opposition is going to be tracking this. You know, you just have to type in a hashtag and figure out, and you're going to go there, because, you know, counteracting the message in Thousand Oaks is really going to make a difference. I wouldn't want them to win that block in Thousand Oaks now, would you?
I mean, these rallies could be everywhere. I know you realize they're kind of useless to people who stand on the street.
Well, show me one that's been effective. All the rallies regarding this Palestinian war.
Revolt from 2000?
This one here. No, actually, you know what mattered was the voting. The voting is what matters. But standing 7,500 miles away, there's no election going on here. It's that Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't care about anybody yelling in the streets of Thousand Oaks.
Right.
I mean, this is just narcissism, malignant narcissism that is And just animalistic behavior, really, because it's like when one monkey starts jumping up and down, then all the other monkeys in the cage are going to start jumping up and down. And that's basically what humans are. We're a slightly more evolved form of monkey. So when one monkey starts going, ooh, 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 and the other monkeys are going, ooh, 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 that's humanity.
Monkey analogy. I love it.
Well, because that's what we are.
A local rabbi said that he did know Kessler and his wife, but they hadn't been to the synagogue in a while. But he said that he exchanged a few emails with them over the years and called him a man committed to peace and committed to Israel. But Kessler was a frequent writer of letters to the editor of the Thousand Oaks Acorn. Do you get that publication, John, in your home? Or, according to a former editor at the newspaper, Kyle Jury, that he had talked with Kessler frequently on the phone about his submissions, many of which were published. So I don't know whether they were all about Israel or just about issues. Apparently, Kessler was an ardent Democrat described here. But apparently, when it comes to the Palestinian issue, probably a little more hard line than you would expect.
Oh, yeah. Those guys. We've got a couple of those guys in my neighborhood. Yeah, they always got some flag out.
Yeah,
they always got some candidate sign out. They're always like daring a crazy person to come and vandalize their property.
Sometimes people will focus on a very important issue to them in their life, and they become very active, including John standing on a street corner on a Sunday afternoon. I remember a friend of mine I've known a long time told me one time, oh, yeah, my parents write letters to the New York Times all the time about abortion. They were fervent Catholics and pro-life, whatever you want to call it. So,
been very effective, huh?
I looked at them like, I've never really run into anyone that's done that before. Many letters? Many letters.
Oh, I read.
Did we get published? I don't remember the answer.
I used to read letters to the editor because they amused me. And after a while, I noticed it's all the same people over and over again.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the only ones I read now are in the Times and the sports section, like about the Dodgers or the Rams, just because I like...
And the people,
the short opinions of sports fanatics.
The people online who leave comments, it's the same thing. In fact, for the LA Times, and they don't allow comments very much anymore, but I noticed just reading it day to day, it was the same people over and over and over
again. Oh, and you know, they don't allow comments because now they're professional trolls who just want to get on there and instigate and think it's funny that they post something really, really nasty.
They do.
And then they get a reaction from you.
Right. And then they get
20. And then at the time, some of the comments are ripping the paper. So that's probably,
the whole thing is a complete waste of time. Everything about it is phony or it's just stupid. Just a waste of energy. You know, obviously, all those letters that your friend's parents wrote did not change the New York Times opinion on abortion, nor did it change any abortion laws in New York.
No, it did not.
No. So...
Although, many years later, a Supreme Court decision was a little bit of an earth mover last year.
I don't think it came from the letters.
And I don't know whether or not the New York Times took too pro-abortion a position for them. I didn't really ask all those questions.
Probably.
All right. We'll be right back. We got a great story. It's a big investigation at calmatters.org into the big scam during the pandemic. The ripoff of California's unemployment fund. They took a look at a lot of internal documents. You know, we still have this Julie Sue hanging out there. Remember her? She used to head up the Labor Department in California, now heads up the Labor Department in Washington, D.C., but can't be confirmed. The Republicans are standing firm and not confirming her in the U.S. Senate to be the actual Secretary of Labor. And she's involved, of course, in this story from back in 2020 and how so much money went out the door to people like prisoners. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. And then after 4 o'clock, it's the John and Ken on demand podcast. Same as the radio show. And you can listen to what you missed.
All right. Then you can connect to the voice line by using that app, the microphone icon, or calling the toll free number. Leave us a message. The voice line call is coming up on Friday, 1-877-MOIST-86. Well, we return to a story we've talked about a lot over the last 3 years, and that was the complete ripoff of California's unemployment money. ED is the name of the agency. It's called the Employment Development Department. Most people for years would just say, oh, yeah, the unemployment department, but that's kind of got a negative slant. We want to act like we're helping people, so it's employment development.
They don't develop any. It doesn't mean anything.
I know, just hand out money.
They didn't like the word unemployment.
You're right. You are right about the language. So much has happened over the last 10 or 15 years to change words. And I saw one the other day, which I hadn't seen in a while. You know, sometimes they say formerly incarcerated. Those are people who are felons. But the new one, not new one, but the one I saw they hadn't seen in a while was experience with the justice system. That one is really hysterical.
Yes, I saw that.
What were they, worked in the jails?
Right.
No, it's another felon. Experience with the justice system. Again, no stigma.
If you see that, stop reading that publication.
I know.
Stop going to
that
news.
I think it was a press release I was looking at.
Oh, I've seen it in news stories. I've seen it in news stories, and it's like, okay, I'm not going to your site anymore, and I'm not believing anything you have there. That's nonsense.
This story centers on, of course, the governor back in 2020, Gavin Newsom, Julie Hsu, who's the head of the Labor Department for the state of California, and a woman by the name of Sharon Hilliard, who was the EDD director at the time. She retired at the end of 2020. She's long gone. So they focused, it's a very long article at calmatters.org, which is worth the read. But we can only have time to hone in on a few things. On March 18th, 2020, the day before Newsom shut down the state, the then Labor Secretary, his then Labor Secretary, Sue, wrote an email to the Sharon Hilliard woman and her deputies. She wanted to know if the unemployment system was ready for whatever came next. Do we need to do anything to shore it up at this point to prevent problems, delays, or worse, a system crash? I need you to work together to make sure we are okay. Well, the answer at first from the EDD, their IT director, was systems performing fantastic, he wrote the next day.
Big lie.
24 hours later, the scale of this began to sink in, and Sue and Hilliard exchanged messages about the pros and cons of expediting unemployment approvals by waiving some eligibility requirements. Sue wanted to know if we kept those requirements in place, what would that mean for processing times? She wrote, actually, what would the backlog situation be? Hilliard, the brilliant woman, answered, oh, it would be months, if not well into next year. Makes me shiver just thinking about it. Well, further on in this article, experts said, no, it probably would have been weeks, not months or years, if they'd kept some of the basic eligibility requirements, like checking whether or not somebody's Social Security number matches a prisoner.
On death row.
On death row, Scott Peterson? No. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. If you saw a guy named Scott Peterson and his address is San Quentin and a cell number on death row, I don't think that's going to take weeks to figure out.
No. In fact, the person I'm talking about is Michael Horowitz, who's Inspector General of the U.S. Department of Justice and Chair of the Federal Pandemic Response Accountability Committee. He said they set up a false choice. It would not have been months. It could have been a week matching data. And that was the crux of the problem.
Well, that's just not, you see, this is why I always harp about intelligence. That's what how an intelligent person would analyze the situation. But a dumb, lazy person who doesn't want to do the work or is afraid of the criticism they'll get because of the slow pace. Oh, I don't know. That sounds like too much trouble. That'll take a long time. Well, I don't really want to deal with it. I need a nap now. I mean, it's intelligence. It's a mindset. It's an analytical ability, which is a function of your intelligence.
I realize that technology is probably pretty antiquated at DDD, but how tough would it be to check application social security numbers with like a prisoner list of social security numbers? And we also learned at the time, remember, Newsom didn't want that. He thought that was a privacy invasion. That was
There you go. The chief genius there, right? Chief genius. Yeah, it's a privacy violation of a serial killer if the government checks his social security number. Like, that's the problem, is that government employees would know the social security number of a serial killer.
So it says here, as claims flooded in, about 60% of them, including many later suspected to be fraudulent, sailed through the automated application process. The application for the Emergency Federal Program for Self-Employed Workers was particularly fast. Remember that? They added that because they were rate of people that didn't write. And easy to game. They found, for example, an applicant under the name of Poopy Britches. Got through. Poopy Britches. Nice. Yeah. The other 40% were flagged for manual review, the task force found, but they decided it was too long to fit into the database. So a lot of those got waived, too.
I don't know if I mentioned, but I'm reading a book about the whole cryptocurrency scam over the last few years. And within the story that's told, which is an unbelievably fascinating story, there is, in passing, some information about how the dark web works and how many criminals are on the dark web. And you have just, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of guys. It's almost all guys. And they're buying and selling opioids and children and women and guns. Drugs, cryptocurrency, and everybody's paying in cryptocurrency, right? Because it's difficult to track. And the spread of this network is incredible, and the speed in which everyone's able to jump on board the fraud, like the frauds constantly change. In 2020, the big fraud was looting the U.S. government and all the states of this unemployment money. That was the fraud of the year for this crowd. They're very quick to do it on the internet, and they spread the word, here's how you do it, and here's how you fill out the form, how you get away with it. And then you have the likes of this Susan Hilliard and Julie Sue, and it's like, you know?
Sharon Hilliard.
Now, the Susan Hilliard wasn't any better. But the thing is, they're so far out of their league, because these internet criminals are like sick, twisted geniuses, and bureaucrats are vegetables. The vegetables are not going to beat the geniuses. It's impossible.
Bank of America collected more than $492 million in EDD debit card fees just from March 2020 to December of 22. But they're claiming that over a 10-year period, they lost money on California's EDD program, that their expenses were $927 million compared to $687 million in revenue.
Well, the original sin is that they have never upgraded their infrastructure, their technology infrastructure, to 2020 levels, right? This is all still running on 1980s technology. And so you get an unusual event where it seems half the world is accessing the system to get money, and a lot of people need the money right away. And then... Nobody knows what to do, and they have a system that's inoperable, basically. Right. And they have people who are so slow-witted that the genius guys on the internet just bowl them over. It's like the Chicago Bears bowling over a kindergarten team. That's the reality of it.
All right, we'll be right back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Couple of other nuggets in this Cal Matters story on the EDD fraud that overwhelmed the state back in the year 2020 during the pandemic. Estimates still can hang anywhere from $20 to $30 billion got ripped off. They talked to a longtime employee, 30-year EDD veteran. Huh. He retired in 2018. But he said for a while there, they started seeing IP addresses come in, not just ineligible prison inmates, but IP addresses for people that were in Israel, Uruguay, and Pakistan were coming in there.
It was all over the world.
It was all over the world.
Because
that's what they say. Like you just said before, once somebody identifies an easy fraud target, everybody jumps in. They get the word. Just like the borders open.
Because
Biden's president.
In reading this book about cryptocurrency, there is a there's a site on the dark web called, they've closed it down, but these things reopen all the time, Alphabay. And it was a spinoff. It was a different version of eBay, right? Not connected to eBay. Alphabay is where you could buy opioids and women and guns and all, you know, child porno videos, whatever. And there were four, at the time that this author went online, there were 400,000 listings of things that would be illegal to buy in the real world. 400,000. I mean, isn't it incredible how many bad people there are? And they all coalesce on the internet and they pay each other in cryptocurrency. And it's a huge economy. And of course, they found out that nobody was enforcing these unemployment benefit laws.
Well, I mean, here's a gem of a story. In June of 2015, all right, this is 8 years ago, the then EDD director, Henning Jr., I don't have his first name here, gathered with people, top employment officials at a hotel in San Diego to talk about a new tech breakthrough, fraud detection as a service. They had a software purchase, $1.75 million federal grant that they were going to use to catch the fraudsters. And in a test study, they had flagged 118 million in potential high-value unemployment fraud cases. That's not a big chunk of the money paid out, but one of the investigators said that would probably be the tip of the iceberg. Well, the next year, EDD suddenly pulled the plug on the whole fraud software package, and it disappeared. So another opportunity was lost.
Because it's
Patrick Henning Jr.
They're not interested. It doesn't hurt their careers to be involved in a bad fraud like this. Julie Hsu is now the labor secretary. She didn't suffer any penalty. And now this fraud story is 3 years old. Nobody cares. Nobody brings it up in the media. Cal Matters wrote about it, but how many people read Cal Matters?
It is one of the biggest taxpayer ripoffs in the history of the country.
Right.
But nobody cares.
Nobody cares. It's faded away. Julie Hsu is the labor secretary. She should be going to jail for this, right? I mean, there should be government incompetence to the point where you go to prison. When you cost taxpayers tens of billions of dollars. But no, there's none of that. Because nobody cares.
The other thing that happened was Bank of America did not put chips in the debit cards, which if you know now, most credit card companies do insist on having those security chips in there. Without those chips, they're easy for scammers to be able to copy your card.
Because it wasn't Bank of America
information.
It wasn't Bank of America's money. They weren't on the hook to reimburse if the cards got stolen.
Oh no! It says here in the story they got turned down. They were told by EDD, "No, we're not going to do that. Maybe because it costs more. I don't know why."
Well,
but they didn't do
Bank
that.
Of America should have walked away. But ultimately, like on Bank of America debit cards, any credit cards they're associated with, it all has chips. Because if you have a Bank of America account and it gets looted through fraud, you know, they're on the hook after the first $50.
Right.
So, of course, they're going to put a chip on their debit cards. But they're not on the hook for the they could suggest and ask. But ultimately, the government said no. And Bank of America went along with the program anyway, because, again, not their money.
I remember years ago I had a credit card, and this is before they did the chip embedding, And I went to, I'm pretty sure it was a gas station, and I must have gotten, I must have attached some device to be able to grab the information off my card, and I got ripped off. I went to Vegas and went on a spending spree that year. They were buying all sorts of Apple computers and stuff, and I got word of that. I was like, what the hell?
They go to Right for Electronics. Whenever we've gotten frauded, first thing that shows up is Best Buy.
Oh, yeah. I think it was an Apple store. Mine was an Apple store. Yeah, but spent $25,000, I think it was.
It's always electronics. Because then they could resell them and make, thousands of dollars in some cases by going on the internet. But going to eBay, the real eBay.
You're just not convinced from this story that the Employment Development Department has really done anything should this ever happen again. It doesn't really seem to be the case. They'll tell you they will. And of course, the other side of this story, which is covered, is all the people that had legitimate claims who were denied and couldn't get their money.
Right.
It says here in the story that actually the fraudsters had an easier time getting applications in than the people had legitimate claims.
Well, to me, this is grounds to recall a governor, right? But nobody did. When you're so incompetent that you blow $30 billion of tax money and the people who had a legitimate claim to EDD money didn't get it, then you should be removed from power and you should be forced to take all your bureaucrats with you, right? Julie Sue should be gone. She shouldn't be the labor secretary in Washington. But of course, she got a promotion. And Newsom is going for a promotion. He's running for president. So they'll never fix this. If we had a similar situation happen tomorrow, another $30 billion would go out the door. They wouldn't have fixed a thing.
Yeah, one of the longtime EDD employees said in here, says, oh, the legislature was never interested in fraud. They were not interested in doing anything about it. We couldn't get them to invest any money in anti-fraud systems. They didn't care.
No, because they never get punished for it.
And I know that from, like, the only guy we get on the air is Jim Patterson. Remember him?
Assemblyman?
He was really into this story, but I wouldn't say there was a lot of legislators in Sacramento behind him going, we got to do something.
Because
a couple of DAs got involved in this story.
Because the Senate is, what, 72-8 Democratic or something like that?
Yeah.
So what are they suffering from? Nothing. Legislature's over 2/3 Democratic. Newsom is one easily.
Plus, it's just tax money. We'll just get some more, right? So a few fraudsters got through, but we have to help the people.
Because Biden was sending billions of dollars to California, and that money was just printed up out of nothing. So it doesn't matter. It's fake money, and the fake money gets spread around, and that leads to inflation. But, hey, you know, I think Biden is getting bit now by the inflation that he started.
All right, we'll be right back. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota. Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic.
Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.